Here we are at the beginning, finally, of the 2019 theme for this year. We're going to be looking at a Buddhist text that's called the Satipatthana, which is often translated as the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. The first question that might come up is that we are actually not a Buddhist group. What we do here is rooted in Buddhism. I personally identify with Buddhist values and practices and such, but mindfulness meditation in itself is not a religious or a Buddhist thing. So why is a non-Buddhist meditation group going to be studying one of the most famous Buddhist texts for a year? The main answer is that, as I just said, mindfulness is based on it. The modern mindfulness that we find, especially in Western countries now, the MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction, mindfulness in schools, mindfulness in hospitals, it's showing up everywhere. And all of it is originally rooted in this text. And so it's good to go back and see where this all came from. It's one of the most widely studied texts. It's common to just about every Buddhist school. And it's got really good instructions on how to meditate. You may have noticed that the full theme, what I'm calling this year's study, is the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, 53 Paths to Freedom. It's because it's a relatively short text, but within it, if I counted correctly, there are 53 different ways of meditating that have come to us. Many of them we don't see very much in present time, but it's all like examples of how to do this. So it's a really good manual. So that's another good reason to study it. And as I said, we're not a Buddhist group. This is obviously a Buddhist text, but it's not a religious text. There's nothing in it about theology or having to believe or any of the things that might come up about reincarnation or anything like that. It really is just a meditation manual. And I'm going to read the beginning of it in a minute. And it essentially says, okay, this is how you meditate in order to be free of suffering. And then there it is. So it seemed like it would be a good thing to study. I'll give you a little historic context of it. And throughout the year, I'm not an expert, I'm not a Buddhist scholar, but I love linguistics and I love the history and context. So we'll be doing some of that and we'll also be learning techniques. So here's my first bit of academia. The Satipatthana Sutta. So a sutta is like a teaching. It's something that the Buddha taught, but not necessarily what he said word for word. It shows up in many versions in the Pali Canon. So the Pali Canon, sorry for all these technical terms, but Pali is the language, one of the languages they spoke in the time of the Buddha. And so the early texts are written in Pali, canon meaning the canon of literature. So the Pali Canon is like this body of literature that is related to the early Buddhism. And within that, you find the four foundations popping up as just bare bones lists. You find bits where one or two or a few of the things in it are expounded in great detail. So it looks like what happened is that all of these things were pulled together into a systematic system. Certainly, it's what the Buddha taught. He probably didn't sit down and give a teaching that was written down like this. But it is, we know that it's what he taught because it's taken from lots of different things and pulled together. So there are two complete versions. I said there's lots of short versions and stuff, in like the lists of the four foundations and things that are found in other suttas or other teachings within the canon. But there are two versions that are the complete system that's been brought together. And one is called the Satipatthana, and I'm going to speak in a moment about what that word means. And the other one is called the Mahasatipatthana, which maha means big or better. So it's the bigger version. And they're both pretty much the same, except that the Mahasatipatthana has a little bit more explanation about one of the sections. Either of those are what we're going to be following. There are lots of different translations. I'll be using a variety of them because it's important that we don't get caught in words. And some are easier to work with in some areas and such. And I'm going to be, depending from my academic elements, this book, it's written by a monk called Bhikkhu Anālayo and has a translation in here, which I'll be reading from. I also have at the back of here, if anyone wants to take a picture of this before you go, I've got some references of three different translations, and you can download this book if you want to. It's very academic, so it's not like quick bedtime reading. So that's a sort of overview of what this piece of text is. I'm going to read a little bit of the beginning of it now, and we're going to look at sort of an overview of what it's about, what the contents are, and how it's structured, so that in following weeks we can start delving into that structure in more detail. So I'm going to read, the beginning. So you'll notice that there's a lot of repetition because the teachings were initially passed down orally, and so they would be put into repetitive phrases so that they're easy to remember. And they always start, "Thus have I heard." "Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was living in the Kuru country, in a town of the Kurus named Kamasadama. There he addressed the monks thus. 'Monks?' 'Venerable sir,' they replied. 'The Blessed One said this.'" So there's always some sort of introduction like that. "Monks, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of dukkha and discontent, for acquiring the true method for the realization of nibbana, namely the four satipatthanas." Anālayo has not translated a few of the words here, and we'll go into those when the time comes because they don't have direct English translations. But we'll learn about them when we get to them. So the four satipatthanas, or the four foundations of mindfulness. What are the four? "Here, monks, in regard to the body, a monk abides contemplating the body diligently, clearly knowing and mindful, free from desires and discontent in regard to the world. In regard to feelings, he abides contemplating feelings, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free from desires and discontent in regard to the world. In regard to the mind, he abides contemplating the mind, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free from desires and discontent in regard to the world. In regard to the Dhammas, he abides contemplating the Dhammas, diligent, clearly knowing and mindful, free from desires and discontent in regard to the world." So we've got the four foundations of the four satipatthanas are the body, the feelings, mind, and the Dhammas, which we'll learn about later. And each time he's saying, this is how you contemplate them. "And how, monks, does he, in regard to the body, abide contemplating the body?" So he's saying, okay, I've told you to contemplate the body. What's that mean? "Here, gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut, he sits down, having folded his legs crosswise, set his body erect, and established mindfulness in front of him. Mindful, he breathes in. Mindful, he breathes out. Breathing in long, he knows I breathe in long. Breathing out long, he knows I breathe out long. Breathing in short, he knows I breathe in short. Breathing out short, he knows I breathe out short. He trains thus. I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body. He trains thus. I shall breathe out, experiencing the whole body. And he trains thus. I shall breathe in, calming the bodily formation. And he trains thus. I shall breathe out, calming the bodily formation. Just as a skilled turner or his apprentice when making a long turn knows I make a long turn, or when making a short turn knows I make a short turn, so too breathing in long, he knows I'm breathing in long. And so this bit sort of repeats. But what he's saying is, okay, here's my first example. What do I mean when I say contemplating the body? Well, you're going to watch your breath and you're going to know that you're breathing. So that's the first little section. And then there's this, the next section, which we're calling the refrain. In this way, in regard to the body, he abides contemplating the body internally, or he abides contemplating the body externally, or he abides contemplating the body both internally and externally. He abides contemplating the nature of arising in the body, or he contemplates arising the nature of passing away in the body. Or he abides contemplating the nature of both arising and passing away in the body. Mindfulness that there is a body is established in him to the extent necessary for bare knowledge and continuous mindfulness. And he abides independent, not clinging to anything in the world. This is how in regard to the body, he abides contemplating the body. Then the next section is about, here's another example. You know if you're sitting or if you're standing or if you're lying down. And it follows the same repetitive pattern. When you are standing, you know that you're standing. And when you're lying down, you know that you're lying down. And you do this both internally and externally. And just over and over and over again. So you have this, here's a technique. And here's the refrain, and here's another technique, and here's the same refrain, and here's another technique, and here's the same refrain. And as if I counted correctly, I think there are 53 techniques. Every technique is then followed by the refrain, and then at the end it repeats that this is the way out of sorrow and lamentation. And there's a prediction that if you do this enough, then you'll be free. And so that is pretty much how the text works. You can see that it is very dense and probably doesn't come across well just reading it like that. But we're going to go through and pick it apart. If you pull out the repetition and boil down what's in each paragraph, it actually is not so dense, but there is a lot of detail about how to do these practices. So the name, the Four Foundations, is the translation that most everybody knows. It's, you know, the books all translated as the Four Foundations, and there's courses on the Four Foundations. But it turns out the Foundations is not actually a very good translation. And what's happened is that in the suttas, when they were written, there was one word that was used. And then later on, there's what's known as the commentaries, which came 1,000 years or 1,500 years later when monks wrote. They wrote their interpretation and they elaborated. And those are useful texts. And we might be looking at those also. But they lost a letter in the word Satipatthana, which changed the meaning. And so in the suttas, the word is actually Sati Upatthana, which is a compound of a word meaning awareness or mindfulness. And then the Upatthana is about, literally, it's placing near, or attending to, or having on hand, being present. And so it's about having mindfulness or awareness present and using that, attending with mindfulness to certain things. But when they wrote the commentaries, they dropped the U and got satipatthana, which sati is still awareness and mindfulness, but the patthana means the cause or the foundation. So that's changed it from a verb to a noun. So in the commentaries, they're saying these are the four things that you have to do in order to establish mindfulness. Sometimes it's translated as the establishment of mindfulness. But originally, it wasn't that you have to do these four things. You don't have to follow all 53 rules before you can claim to have mindfulness. What it was actually saying is that here are four areas in which you can apply mindfulness. And if you do that, that's going to take you to reducing your suffering. So we're going to be looking at it as a verb, that we've got a book here of four different areas in which we can apply mindfulness with 53 individual examples of how you might do that. We're not claiming that these are things that you have to do in order to be mindful. You can apply mindfulness to other things, and indeed I teach other ways of applying mindfulness, but these are the four areas that are being expounded here for our benefit, that if we want to learn how to apply mindfulness to them, then that will be beneficial to us. So I've given you sort of an overview. There's the four frames of reference, or the four areas that we're going to look at: body, feeling, tone, mind, and the dhammas, whatever they may turn out to be. Things like hindrances that get in the way of your ability to meditate, or the awakening factors, things that you can cultivate in yourself. So the last section is going to be that sort of characteristic and such. We won't get onto that for some time, but those are the dhammas. So you have the four divisions. Each one of those has subdivisions. So we saw in body, we had breath, and then the next thing was the postures, sitting, standing, walking, and then there's looking at body parts, which is sort of fun. You get to look at bones and teeth and phlegm and bile and stuff. And then there's, I believe, six different contemplations on the charnel grounds, looking at how a body decomposes and we're going to become just like that. So there's these subdivisions within the four divisions, and then each of the subdivisions has specific techniques. So breathing in, you know that you're breathing in. Breathing out, you know that you're breathing out. You can do this internally or externally. You can do it internally and externally. You can do it looking at the arising. You can do it looking at the passing. You can do it at arising and passing. So you get down to these very specific techniques, which is really where the fun is. So the coming weeks, next Thursday, we're going to look at that paragraph about this is the direct path to purification. And I will expound on that a little bit, and I'll give you a teaser that when it says it's the direct path, it does not mean the only direct path. It means if you do take this path, you're going to get there, but there are other paths you can take too. But we're going to look at what that declaration means. What is it the direct path to? What are we aiming for with the satipatthana? And then on the retreat on the 26th, we're going to look at that the definition of how everything in every example, how you're supposed to do it, which is diligent, being diligent, clearly knowing, mindful, free from desires. You know, you heard that bit at the beginning. So that's what I'm going to be talking about at the retreat. And then in the months that follow, we'll be looking at various techniques. So that's what you're getting into.